Starting off the hour by going right to the KODY phone lines as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Groney. How are you this wonderful Monday morning?
Good. Good. And you?
I can't complain. Nice rain. Nice rain in the forecast here as of recent. Nice cool May conditions.
And grass is knee high and life is good.
Amen.
Anyway, we're going to be down there Wednesday and Thursday to finish up. I'm glad it's over. There was too much money floating around, too many expectations. And too much money passed out. And then wrong tax cuts were given. So wasn't a good year as far as, but usually not when the legislature's in session. I, of course, wanted a few votes who voted against the corporate income tax cut. I just didn't see a good reason for it. You can all cut taxes, but you like your services too. And the high tax in Nebraska is not corporate income taxes. It's property taxes. So interesting thing I found out, a lot of our corporations don't even pay the 7.84% or whatever it is tax. Banks, for example, max out at 3.81%. They pay a deposit fee, but they can't pay over 3.81, I guess, I believe it is, percent taxes. So they do very well for themselves. And then, of course, there's a couple others. Insurance companies don't pay next to nothing. And we give $200-300 million in incentives a year. So basically, at the end of the day, we should be collecting about $1 billion worth of corporate tax, and we end up with about 300. But we decided to give them more tax cuts, and you all know I've never taken a dime from a special interest group, but many senators do, Democrat and Republican. And when the people who pay for your campaign say jump, people jump. Politics is ugly, and it's uglier all the time. But otherwise, we're going back. We're going to vote on spin the rules on Senator Halloran's LR 14, the Constitute Convention. I've come to a conclusion it's not a good thing. I originally supported it. Sounds grand. Adams and Jefferson are going to show up again in Franklin, and they're going to have a convention, and we're going to fix the Constitution, but I don't see it getting fixed. I see bad things happening. Takes 3/4 of the states to change it. But what I've seen the last couple weeks in the legislature, we awesome of the United States. I've seen Senator Michaela Kavanaugh stand up, Senator Hunt stand up, Senator Matt Hansen, radical left-wing liberals. The progressive states will send people like that to the convention. That's who will be standing up and telling people we need to have a balanced budget, right? And then what I've seen on this issue alone, boat trades, to get 30 votes to suspend the rules. So what's going to happen at the convention? That those who really are rabid about balanced budget amendments, or what part of their soul will they trade or sell to the other side for some type of change to the Constitution so they can get their 3/4? It's not a good thing. God only made one, Jefferson, Madison, Adams. They don't exist anymore. Back then, the big money and things like that weren't involved in politics. It was something God decided to do. He had to be ordained. What happened in his country and the Constitution they made, to me, is as solid as the Bible. So I'm, as a friend of Senator Halloran, I was given weak support to it, but I'm not going to support it anymore. Not a good idea. Anyway, make a long story short, if we've got leaders and judges who don't follow the Constitution as written now, why would anybody expect them to do it if you changed it? We got to have integrity back in this country all around. Otherwise, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. But so that we're doing. I'm not looking forward to that vote. I did say I'd give him the vote to change the rules. But after that, I'm a no. I'll come back next year then. Otherwise, rail parks are go. So is rural fire departments. Each get a nice little $10,000 check in the mail.
Awesome.
From the Treasury Department. That's big for somebody like Wellfleet and Wallace and Hershey and, you know, all those little districts. And North Platte Fire Department will get a $10,000 check, too, because they're part of the local mutual finance organization. But that's, I didn't spend any new money on that. It was money that was sitting there from an existing cash fund that was created by tax, part of the taxes on your insurance premium some years ago. It was just not being utilized. Instead, it was being sent back to the general fund to be spent on excessive spending. So, anyway, it's money back to rural Nebraska. And the rail park can get up to $30 million if they come up with $7.5 million. They ought to be able to do that with private investment and get something rolling out there. So, otherwise, I'm working on my bills for next year, my last year there. And got interest from people like in the past, and we'll see what happens. But otherwise, I don't know. Locally there, I heard the packing plant and the mall projects are going on, and I was glad to see a split vote at the city council. Government isn't good. It does not work well if you have 8-0 votes and 9-0 votes and 7-0 votes. Because every project, once approved, should have some doubters who are keeping an eye on it. Because if you vote yes all the time, it's hard to later say, told you so, or what about this? I expressed a doubt in the past about this, what's happening on this project. It's always good to have 4-3 or 5-3 and votes. It's good for democracy. It's good for the public. That way the public knows, even if you are for something, that you know there's somebody on that elected board keeping an eye on it from the other side. So I was happy to see that split vote on the mall, even though I supported the mall, everything but the, you know, because I'm an old, got my eye on use of tax increment finance, and it shouldn't be tiffing an apartment complex. It has nothing to do with what the sales pitch is on redoing the mall, which is a good sales pitch. It's old. It needs to be updated. And it does qualify for blight and substandard. But then you always got to throw that caveat in there and throw an apartment complex, which has nothing to do with it. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's going to help North Platte's retail sales and keep North Platte as a retail center.
Mm-hmm.
If you can track them to town, they'll stop at your little store, stop at your gas station, stop at your restaurant. So anyway, that's good. And I was downtown this weekend, and wonderful what's going on there. Should have been 20 years ago. Leaders of the community in the past, all they focused on was the interstate and the real estate speculated to own the land out there. And finally, we got leadership. From DevCo and the community where we're redoing the downtown, and it gives a whole different. I had an individual tell me, he said, I thought your town was dying last time I was there. I came the other day and I went to your downtown, and I was amazed at the progress. That's what people see. That's
yep.
The first impression. I've been trying to say that for 20 years, and I don't know if somebody listened or somebody wiser than me finally got in leadership in local government, but the new mayor and the past mayor, got to give them credit because he started on the street projects. But that's good. North Platte's looking up. Lincoln County's looking up. But is there anything else going on?
Well, I wanted to ask you about the redistricting process, Senator Groney. Where are you and your colleagues at on that?
I really don't care. Lincoln County is going to stay its district. I told my friends on it that it makes no difference where you draw the lines. If the Republican Party doesn't stop being the party of the Rockefellers and the corporations, it's going to lose no matter what. Yeah, Senator Erdman, I mean, we took a different route, and a lot of the senators who are winning now that are conservative have become more of a populist, a little bit like Trump on his policies, not his behavior. But, you know, I don't care where you draw the lines. The good old boys nationally and locally no longer own the message. The country club Republicans, they don't own the message anymore. They used to own the newspaper editorial page because of their advertising dollars. They owned the message coming off the radio news because they owned the advertising dollars. And people didn't have very many avenues of to seek information. That's gone. If they don't start, I'll give you an example. Senator, 10 years ago, they redistricted and they carved out the Gretna area, thought they could keep it conservative. Morante was there, and then won one election, two elections, and then they appointed Legrone. This past election, Senator Day, who's a very nice, I get along well with her. She's a proponent of the two-man rail crew, as I am. But she's left, socially left, left taxation, left everything, and spending. That's within a decade, because times are changing, the boundaries mean nothing if you don't have the minds of the people behind you. So I really don't care how they do it. They can try to gerrymander as much as they want, but the trend is away from the big dollars and the control to the average working person. The Republicans don't pick up the working people and the union people as their allies. They're done, as far as I can see. But that's just my opinion. So I don't really care about it. It's going to happen, whatever happens. So because lying people don't follow lines, they follow ideals and their beliefs. So that's it. Like I said, I don't even know what they're doing. I just know I'm going to have to spend another damn week down there in September and August to vote on it or debate it.
Yeah, I was going to say there's going to be a special session for that in the summer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so like I said, I'll go down there because I have to. But like, I mean, I guess I can't keep my mouth shut. And I'll probably say some of the things more articulate than what I did this morning on the floor about lying and redistricting, but it is what it is.
That's what we're doing, Mike, is to give you practice.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Anyway, but I got to go back to Wednesday and Thursday, like I said. I might even skip out Thursday. But
now, just out of curiosity, Senator Groney, I guess I've never been a part of the redistricting process before. So, when you and your colleagues get that done, does that have to go to the governor like a bill would, or do you guys set it into stone?
I have no idea. Like I said,
we're both about to learn. I guess
I'm assuming the governor. You know, it's a bill. It's in during session. I really don't know. I'd have to read the Constitution, but I never followed it. If Lincoln County was going to lose, and rural Nebraska was going to lose, you know, a lot of votes, but they're going to lose anyway, because the population shift in the last 10 years have been dramatic towards the east. So
yeah,
they're going to lose a couple of seats. They're going to try to carve out some piece that stays a little bit rural, but you know, rural Nebraska is hurting. Well, put it this way. I'm not really a rural senator. I 25,000 or 20-some thousand of my 39,000 people live in North Platte. But I am. But we are a rural community. We care for each other, ag and the railroad, and everybody thinks alike. But there are very few rural-dominated districts. Hastings is not really a rural dominated, neither is North Platte, North Fork or Kearney or Columbus. Yeah. So it's a delicate balance we have. So we're going to have to, that's why the property tax issue has such a hard fight. even though all of us are representing those areas, really, I'm an ag guy no matter what. But it's a real issue. But, you know, ag has become too efficient. There are just not many people involved in it. It's one of the industries that has been unbelievably productive. It just keeps getting more productive with less manpower and less voters. So, but, no, it's what's going to be. It's the minds of the people. And no matter where they live, we're going to have issues that people want the Constitution, their constitutional rights. And otherwise, the old days of issue fighting, I think, are over. About you can just be no taxes and get elected. You can't do it. You've got to be, you know, you're going to have to be a conservative to win as a Republican, that you're doing efficiency in these services you offer, but you can't just say no all the time. One thing I'd like to visit about is that vote on disabilities for children. There's more to that story than what the liberal press has told you. We had 3,000 to 4,000 people waiting on disability to get services in the state of Nebraska. We spend about $158 million. We added $10 million this year to it, to the services. What's happened is we have very, very lucrative. I don't say lucrative because I wouldn't consider that benefit if I had one of those disabilities, but we're very lucrative. I can't think of a better word about the waivers we pay for. I've had testimony from people I know have done business with, moved to Nebraska because they had a disabled member of the family, and they get a lot better services here paid for. One guy moved from Wyoming to Scotts Bluff with his business because his son could get a hot tub and all the supplies paid for because he needed hot tub therapy. Well, he could afford a hot tub. I know the guy. But anyway, so what's wrong with that is I've been there for 7 years. We keep bringing, and they keep bringing, the left keeps bringing a little bitty bill that we're going to extend this service. We're going to give another waiver for another service being paid for. Well, here's another bad term, but the rich get richer. The ones that are already on disability get another service paid for. So when we give another $10 million, instead of another child or another family being able to get on disability, we have to pay first the ones that are already on there. So I got Senator Arch, I talked to him off the side, and Senator Ben Hansen are on the committee. I said, why don't you do a study about comparing our benefits and our waivers to the other states? And then maybe if we back up some of the benefits, we'll have money to bring more people onto the disability list. But we don't think down there. People don't think. They don't know how to play chess. They don't think four moves into the future about if you give this waiver over here, well, you just took the benefits away from somebody who is just waiting in line to get on because we don't have enough money to add them to the disability list. So so you're making a decision. You either have a 30-year-old man or woman who has Down syndrome, their parents pass away, and they have nowhere to go. Do you give them benefits, or do you give a child benefits who from a middle-class family who has mom and dad and the welfare system yet and Medicaid and grandma and grandpa to help them? Who do you give the benefits to? See, that's the debate. And it's not just so simple that a child needs benefits. It's who has the family back there to take care of them if they don't get benefits. The 30-year-old man, a person with Downs doesn't, because his parents got older and passed away. So it isn't just a simple debate about being mean and taking benefits away from children. There's a lot more behind it. And anyway, so that's what they're going to do next over the interim is look at those waivers and see if we can adjust them. Because we're getting people to move here. And the other thing is, if you got a severe situation, they have to judge that. So if you move from Texas and you've got a situation that's worse than all those people native Nebraska's waiting, you jump to the head of the line to get on disabilities. We need to look at that, too, about how long you lived in the state before you get disabilities. anyway, but I hope I explained that a little better than what you read in the press. So it's a major issue, you know, but you can't sink the lifeboat, you know, and putting everybody on it either. That's a decision that has to be made, and I'm glad I don't work at HHS. But so is there anything else that you're concerned about?
I don't think so. Nothing that I had. Anything that you wanted to bring?
Rick, don't have anything to say? All right. That means I'm doing a good job, I guess.
Yeah, you're
very,
doing
very,
a fine
very
job, Mike.
Disappointed, one of the two.
Mark it down.
I guess we're not. Waited 7 years to get a compliment, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Groney. As always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels down to the Capitol later this week.
And we won't be on next week because we need to celebrate the holiday, correct?
Correct.
Correct. That's correct, sir.
All right. We'll see you in a couple weeks then.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Senator Groney. That, again, is Lincoln County Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. As always, Mugs in the Morning, presented to you by Shelter Insurance agents Bo Witt, Brent Rogo, and Pete Boltz. For home, life, auto insurance, and more, call the Shelter Guys of North Platte.